Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, well, we've gotten off onto a tangent here this afternoon on
Happy
the Reardon Roundtable. Let's introduce the panel. Haven't even done that. Jane Duker is with us. How are you, Jane?
Oh, great. I've survived the week.
A former chief of staff for former Mayor Slay, Jeff Rainford, is with us. Jeff, good to have you back.
Mark, I got my blues shirt on. Started training camp.
It's hard to believe.
Yes, I know.
It's amazing, hockey season. I just ended last week, actually. And Tim Jones, the former Speaker of the Missouri House, is with us this afternoon as well. And unfortunately, laughs and fun times have to give way to unfortunate deaths of children. That's an awkward segue, but we have another situation. You had a three-year-old kid, boy, who was accidentally shot in the head when he shot himself because the father left the gun out. That was a charge that came down today. That was something that happened earlier. And then you had another school shooting, or I'm sorry, child being shot, Jane. And this is just it's a daily occurrence. This one was in Spanish Lake, so it wasn't in the city.
But it shows you, though, that, look, I mean, crime doesn't necessarily know boundaries at this point. And if we don't get a grip on violent crime, it's going to attack the whole region. And so, you know, and I'm hearing all the, you know, people want to talk about these programs and the long terms. You know what? I don't know about all the long-term, you know, programs that might work out there, but if we don't get violent criminals off the street now, none of the money we invest in any of that is going to matter. And so, you know, I don't know why we keep having this debate. We're 153 officers short. Yes, I represent the cops. And we're 153 officers short still, and violent criminals are running the streets. And, you know, until that gets under control, long-term roots of crime and everything else that all everybody wants to talk about doing, it means nothing. So, you know, it's frustrating, and it's, you know, and I don't understand why we're having an argument about it. You talk to any citizen out there and they will tell you over and over again, crime is the number one problem. And we just have political figures who just think this is a toy, and it's not a toy. It's real. And so it's frustrating. It was a rough week.
Well, let me, before we move on to the other panelists, I want to read you something. This was from your BFF, Kim Gardner, in the St. Louis American. And the question is, and I had the mayor on earlier this week asking her some of these questions, why exclude prosecutors from the crime summit? So the governor was in town, Sam Page, the county executive, and the mayor all met. Kim Gardner said this, Jane, and I'm sure you'll have a reaction. There is a clear and concerted effort to isolate the two reform-minded elected prosecutors in our region. That would be her and Wesley Bell. Why is that? Is it because we think differently about the way we should address long-term crime reduction? Is it because we hear the cries of people who want us to do both cooperate with police while holding them accountable for actions that erode the trust from the public?
There's a couple problems with that. One, there was a black prosecutor there. There was someone from the U.S. Attorney's Office who has taken 1,000 cases from Kim Gardner's office and prosecuted them for guns and other serious felonies. So to say that there wasn't a black prosecutor there is just false. And it shows that she probably wasn't really interested in the meeting anyway. Second of all, again, she's talking about long-term crime. You know, you were elected to get criminals off the streets. And you're not doing that. If you wanted to be chief social worker, then that's the job you should have run for or taken. But at this point, the lack of prosecution is having an effect on crime. People do not think they're going to be punished for crimes. And it's getting to a horrible flashpoint. So it's frustrating. And so, I wasn't perturbed that they weren't there, because their goal is to not prosecute more. Their goal is not to put criminals in prison.
You know, Jeff, one of the issues that I've had all along here is that Jane is trying to scream from the top of her lungs, which she does a lot. I've been trying to do the same when it comes to Kim Gardner. There are a lot of people in the city, and I took the mayor to task on this earlier this week, that are too afraid. You know, I think, in my opinion, the mayor's chicken poop because she's worried about the black votes in the next election. But I cannot fathom how this conduct, or lack of conduct in many cases, continues to go on from the circuit attorney's office.
Well, I agree with you on the circuit attorney, and I think the reason the governor didn't invite her is that she's viewed as anti-police and the governor's pro-police, so I do think it was political, and, you know, we ought to have honest conversations about that. I agree with you with the prosecutor, but I wish it was just as simple as we need a better prosecutor. The dirty little secret in the city of St. Louis is probably 25% of the homicides are ever solved. It's probably the same with aggravated assault, which is shooting somebody, but they end up, some doctor saves their lives. And so we have all of these hardened, dangerous criminals who have shot and killed people or shot and maimed them walking the streets. If it were me, I would send out a message. I would form a unit, the best FBI agents, the best ATF agents, the best city homicide detectives, and the best county homicide detectives, and I would go to the business community, and instead of raising $25,000, I'd raise $1 million and say, we're going to go solve these 13 murders, and we're not going to rest until we do it. And any of you blah, blah, blahs, and you can use whatever curse word you want, who end up killing a kid, we're going to come and hunt you down. And I think we can get these guys. You cannot name a single time in the St. Louis metropolitan area in which a police officer was shot and killed that they did not solve it, and yet we have 13 unsolved murders of children. I think it's a lack of will, and I think there's a lot of things we need to do, including fixing this problem with the prosecutor.
Why don't we start
with solving the murders of these children?
Well, we solved one, and she won't prosecute it. So there are actually 12 that are unsolved. One is solved, and we have somebody who admitted to the murder of Xavier Usanga, and she won't prosecute.
Well, and my answer to that is we can politicize everything, and there's going to be an election where that's dealt with. We go to the U.S. attorney who has shown he has no problem prosecuting what otherwise would be local crimes, and we put him as the head of the task force. That's what I'm saying. Let's just forget the politics, the adult blah, 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 and solve these 13 murders. And we got to work around her rather than spending all of our time criticizing
her.
Let's work around
her. Somebody's got to lead
on that. But there's going to be an election, and I guarantee you we already have a candidate. Mayor Mary Pat Carl has already announced, and these issues will come up in the election. I'm not giving her a pass. What I'm saying is we can all argue about politics, the governor's politics, the mayor's politics, the circuit attorney's politics. I'm saying forget all that and solve these damn murders.
Tim Jones.
You know, I don't know whether to feel sorry for Jane this week or to be jealous, because all of my far left wing trolls are all over her like white on rice now. That's not racist. But it's true. So we just talked about something that I have talked about at this roundtable before, and that's where the culture has gone over the last several decades. Mark, when you and I were growing up, we're around the same generation. You know, I was on the shooting team over at St. Louis U High. Everybody was taught how to use guns at a very early age. We didn't have this level of violence, and I think this is something we're keying on here. I warned people. I served with Kim Gardner in the state legislature. I wasn't impressed with her then. To say I'm unimpressed with her now would be the understatement of the year. But these issues can be solved. Cities much larger than us, with many more people and many more issues, have solved these in the past. Rudy Giuliani did it in New York City when I was there, when I was living there. I entered New York City at the very end of the David Dinkins era and at the very beginning of the Giuliani era, when Time magazine called Manhattan the Rotten Apple. And within a few years later, you could take your kids into Times Square, and Michael Bloomberg followed suit. There are, I agree with Jeff. It shouldn't be politicized. There can be law and order Democrats just as there are law and order Republicans. This is not about politics, but it's about solving what I think is the element here. It's a criminal element. And Jane made a point I thought was valid. You know, you can pass all the laws you want, and we can argue about whether we need more gun laws or not. But in the St. Louis City, who's going to prosecute them? Right. If they're not prosecuting the laws, if you have a prosecutor with a 20% conviction rate, what's the point of passing more laws?
Well, I mean, we're way beyond that. I mean, the bottom line is, and Jeff, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I mean, we people are working around her. We've been told that the feds are out of capacity because they took 1,000 cases. If the feds are out of capacity, I don't even have any idea how bad this is going to get.
Then force the issue. Go out and make 12 arrests and force the issue. We've made one arrest. Let's make 12 arrests. Right. And send a message as a community, a political community. Let her be the outlier who says, I'm not going to prosecute child murderers. Then you'll be able to force her hand instead of having a political discussion, which is she said, he said. Force the issue and arrest these people and hold them accountable.
All right, hang tight. We got much more to come here this afternoon on the Reardon Roundtable, sponsored by the Better Business Bureau. We'll get into a little bit more politics after the governor formally entering the race for not really re-election, because he wasn't elected to that position in the first place, but I think people know what I mean. And the Democrat presidential debate last night. Wow, was that entertaining and zany. At the same time, we'll get into that coming up.
The Reardon Roundtable, sponsored by the Better Business Bureau, a standards-based organization advancing marketplace trust on KMOX.
Jane Duker on the panel, Jeff Rainford, former House Speaker Tim Jones as well. And Timmy, I'll start with you on this one. Governor Parson making an announcement. It was not a surprise, of course, that he's going to get into this race and try to win next year. He is folksy and I think relatively popular, although in certain quarters of the state, maybe not extremely well known just because he's a newcomer to statewide politics. But this seemingly is one of those slam dunks for Republicans next year. Not that Nicole Galloway isn't a decent candidate, but I find it very difficult to believe that she can beat even a three-year incumbent, if you will.
Well, let's remember, Governor Parson did run statewide. He was elected lieutenant governor, so his name's been on the statewide ballot. Look, he's got going for him in this state whatever Republican has next year, Donald Trump at the top of the ticket. And you can say that the polls show that Trump has lost his 19-point victory edge he had. I don't buy it. The polls weren't right last time around. There's a silent majority out there that are never going to say they're voting for Donald Trump. Either then or again, I think it's going to be a 15-point or higher victory here again, and that's going to be coattails for everybody else. Nicole Galloway gets a free shot. She's in the middle of her term. She is, I will say this, she has been an excellent an auditor as far as that goes.
I think she has as well.
She's said and done all the right things, but I just think Democrats are really behind the eight ball here in the state of Missouri.
Won't Democrats, Jeff, be pretty challenged to be in attack mode when it comes to Mike Parson? What will that election be about outside of abortion, I guess?
Well, I think that I think they will pick individual issues and that sort of thing. But unfortunately, I think nationally, it's going to be a great election cycle for Democrats. But in blue states, it's going to be really awful.
You mean in
Missouri.
Red states?
I mean, in red states,
right.
It's going to be really, well, blue states for you guys, red states for me. I mean, really, what's interesting is the country is really, really starting to really self-select. And for instance, I have a friend of mine who lives in California and works in an industry there, the marijuana industry that's growing here. And I said, hey, why don't you look at coming to Missouri? Because it's a brand new state and California is saturated. And he's like, oh, no, I would never move to a red state. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're really self-selecting and you're going to really find states more. Right now, I think there are 11. Those states eventually, I bet you, end up being mostly blue or mostly red. The individual states are going to remain polarized while the country remains competitive.
But see, let me go back and dial in on something you just said. For someone in California to say, I don't want to move to a red state, that's part of the problem here because you have
the
coastal elites.
The other way around, too.
Well, I don't think so.
Oh,
you,
no,
do not have people from Georgia
California.
Flocking to California,
right.
Let me tell you.
Come on. Everybody says don't go to California.
But is that a cultural thing because it's a blue state? No, it's because it's expensive as hell to live there.
Really
no one can afford it.
No, I read a lot about this week, and it's only what I read, but it is consistent with my experience. What the cognitive people who are not political are finding is that Democrats are less anti-religion for religion's sake, that they're anti-religion because Republicans are pro-religion, and Republicans are less anti-African-American and immigration, not so much because they're against those, but because Democrats are for it. We've become so tribal, red against blue, and it is happening within people's patterns and how they're moving. Now, are there places like North Carolina that can flip from one to the other and vice versa, like Missouri used to be Democratic? Yes. But the South, of course, all what used to be all Democratic, now it's all Republican. Some of those are constructs. But it sure feels like both socially with our friends, who we hang out with and where we live, we are self-selecting people who are like us.
Yeah, I don't think that's anything new, though. I really don't. Now, I know it's exaggerated right now. And it's amplified mainly because of social media.
Yeah.
But I think we've done that all the time.
It's
that's
heightened,
just that's called human nature.
Well, it used to be that we had three network sources of news and we all watched it, whether you were conservative, Republican, Democrat or whatever.
Because we didn't know
now
that it was so biased at the time,
now we at least know that.
I
could spend all my time reading only about golf. I could spend all my time
you
only...
You and I have that in common, right?
Reading about guns or reading about whatever.
Politics, it's invaded everything.
It used to be that we were a mass media. There is no mass media now. It's a sectionalized media.
No, and I get that. I understand.
But I also think that, yes, do I think that some of what he... I agree with some of what he's saying, but I also agree that there is a lot... There is fringe on both sides. Both parties have their fringe, and they are loud, and they are, and I think they're squeezing out the middle. I think there is a middle there. I think there are a lot of people in the middle there, and if anything I've seen this week in interacting with all sorts of people, that the middle is getting squeezed out, and you're not allowed to be middle anymore, because if you don't choose a side, you have to check out or choose a side. Because all these middle people
get harassed on Twitter.
Well, that's what I mean. True. That's what I'm saying. And so I think there are a lot of people who feel like I'm the silent majority is out there just not saying anything because if they jump in, they get mobbed by either side.
And I think they generally vote on the economy. You know, James Carville was right many decades ago, and it's still right today. And if you look at the income migration in the country, a lot of it's emptying out of states. Like, I mean, there's a lot of blue and red states that are kind of in that great middle ground where they're not deep red or deep blue, but the deep blue states like California, Illinois, New York, the income migration of the people leaving those states, it is dramatic. Illinois, they're going to turn the lights off pretty soon in most of Illinois because there's not going to be anybody left because it's a failed state. You know, it's a state where people have decided to move out of because there's nothing keeping them there any longer. California is emptying out into the desert Southwest, into Nevada and into Arizona. I mean, so I think that's a lot of it, too. I do agree with Jeff, though, in the sense that, yeah, people seem to compartmentalize every single thing they do anymore into a political zone. Sports, recreation, everything. They kind of want to know, are you
country music is now a factor.
Are you a
factor.
Republican country music fan or a Democratic country music fan? You know, it's getting kind of silly.
But, you know, let me go back again to something Jane said, because I do think that you're in a situation where people make their decisions about things in a variety of ways, right? And politics is a small part of it for some people. In fact, a very small part, maybe not even a part. And I always use this example. We are all dialed into this. This is what we do. There are a lot of people that love shows like this. They love Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, whatever their politics are. But guess what? Most of the people out there, it's not that they've checked out. I disagree with that.
They don't want to get into the
middle of it. No, and it's not like they're trying to not engage. They're saying, let me give you a real life example, and I'm sure you guys could offer me an example that's something similar. Most of the people in Ohio, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, Missouri, you know, Southern Illinois, when it comes to deciding who they're going to vote for, they could not care less about the media focusing on a Sharpie for 10 to 13 days. So you had liberals on MSNBC trying to point this out to the media, saying, you guys, you don't understand how this comes off to the rest of the country. And I think that's
politics,
something that's problematic for your side in particular.
Politics is only one element of culture. So, for instance, religion is a huge aspect of culture that has nothing to do with politics. And you do have people on the left who look down at conservative Christians, you know, people on the left from Seattle who look down at conservative Christians in Georgia. And there are other examples going the other way. Whether you're married or not, there are lots of aspects of culture. Blue and red, politics is part of blue and red. It is not. Even country music is an aspect of blue and red. What kind of music you like.
Right.
And so much of blue and red is politics, but it's not all politics. I do agree with you and Jane, though. There is a chunk, and I think probably especially suburban women, who kind of aren't in any of that and think it's a bunch of nonsense. And I think that the one element of that is you mentioned the economy. Normally, as Carville said, it's the economy stupid. So many people want normal. They want the drama to go away. And that's what I think the next election is likely to be about.
I think it has the potential to be about that. But here's where it's going to shift in a different direction. If you have Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris or something like that a year from now as your nominee, people are going to be in the same position they were in last time, and that's deciding who is the candidate that I hate the least.
Then that's on us,
and we
blew it.
We're capable of doing it.
Well, I agree with that, but then we blew it.
I mean, then that's on us.
The Reardon Roundtable, sponsored by the Better Business Bureau, a standards-based organization advancing marketplace trust on KMOX.
All right, welcome back. Reardon Roundtable, Friday afternoon, sponsored by the Better Business Bureau. Jane Duker, Jeff Rainford, Tim Jones, all on the panel. There was an NFL football game last night. I'm still an NFL fan. I was watching the Panthers blow it. Cam Newton looked terrible, but there was a thunderstorm delay.
I think his shoulder's hurt.
Well, I think it is, too. He's playing hurt, no doubt about that. But there was a thunderstorm delay. They had to clear the field and the crowd. So I tuned in to the Democratic presidential debate. This is literally one of the first things I saw and almost turned it off right there.
If I am president of the United States, we will create an office in the White House to deal with the problem of white supremacy and hate crimes. And we will make sure that systemic racism is dealt with in substantive plans, from criminal justice reform to the disparities in healthcare to even one that we don't talk about enough, which is the racism that we see in environmental injustice in communities of color all around this country.
Okay, so you got an office, Rainford, focusing on white supremacy. That's where we are right now in this country.
Well, again, you've got the lesser candidates who got to have one of those breakthrough moments and throw caution to the wind and say crazy stuff, because it really is looking like it's coming down to maybe three candidates and probably two.
Desperation.
And yeah, no, it's like trying to, you know, it's fourth down and 25
right.
from your
Hail
own
Mary.
10 yard line.
Hail Mary.
There's 3 seconds left on the clock, and you got to try to break through or it's over, because it does feel like. It's coming down to Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and I guess Bernie, although I don't see Bernie doing it. As a matter of fact, Bernie's probably hurting Elizabeth Warren. She's pretty much taking his thing. So if you're at the bottom of the pack, you're going to say crazy stuff to try to break through.
Well, and it was sad because, you know, I've not thought that Booker has had any really good moments in the campaign. And then he did an incredible discussion about what he did in Newark to turn around the schools. And I thought, dude, where have you been? I mean, where have you been? This is what people want to hear about. Mm-hmm. What are the real solutions that we can start talking about in education and what they did and how they turned the city around? I'm like, that should be what you're talking about.
But the problem for that for him would be is if he did break through on that issue, then the press would scrutinize whether he really did it. And I bet the answer would end up being pretty nuanced.
Well, then that may be why that it is where it is, and he is, you know, and he's fourth down.
Yeah, he kind of threw something out there as well.
But I also think that, and I think Mayor Pete actually is going to be in the top. And so I think he, last night, I think turned a lot of people around, and I think that...
I wonder when Bernie and Elizabeth Warren are going to end their non-aggression pact, because they seem to not be going after each other much. Although
they're turning into the same person, except
they are,
one screams.
They
and
are,
one
and
doesn't.
Bernie seems to be sinking himself. Well, I mean, he just sounds old and angry.
Yeah, a couple of observations. And I like Joe Biden, okay? I don't have anything against him. I think maybe some of the criticisms are unfair. But, man, he did not look good last night. He did not look with it, and he was stumbling and bumbling. I know that's kind of his thing.
Well,
but
he was kind of fine early, and then he
ran
out of gas.
I think.
But
yeah.
Nobody watched all 3 hours of the thing, and he was good when it mattered, which is at the beginning.
Well, I missed the beginning, so I'll have to accept your word on that. But just even looking at him, it's almost the opposite problem that Mayor Pete's going to have. I think Mayor Pete did okay last night, but, guys, he looks like he's about 18 years old. Here is Julian Castro.
He does look like Alfred
E. Mayer. And that's just going to be – it's going to be problematic for now. Mayor Pete's probably going to have a fine political career down the road, but right. he's a young guy. This is Julian Castro on the Joe Biden memory issue.
But the difference between what I support and what you support, Vice President Biden, is that you require them to opt in, and I would not require them to opt in.
They do not have to buy in. They do not have to buy in.
You just said that. You just said that 2 minutes ago. You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in. Are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Be informed.
Are you forgetting already what you said just 2 minutes ago? I mean, I can't believe that you said 2 minutes ago that they had to buy in, and now you're saying they don't have to buy. You're forgetting that.
So you heard the reaction from the crowd. That was perceived as a slam on Uncle Joe for being old and forgetting things, right?
Especially because he was wrong.
Yeah,
he was
wrong.
So that's the problem. I mean, so, you know, look, I think Castro was in that position where it's like, I better do something to distinguish myself, and I'm going to go after the front runner. And I think it came off badly. I think that probably is the end. Because even if you're not supporting Joe Biden, I think a lot of people were like, look. And first of all, you were wrong. I mean, Castro was wrong.
Well, there are also a lot of old people in the Democratic Party.
That's right.
Well,
not you.
So what happens next here? Because it's a crucial period. You're going to have the polls will come out next week to see if anyone got a little bump from this or
no
whatever might happen.
Bump.
No, I don't think so.
So
either.
People will drop out, and then you will see where that gets consolidated, where whatever money is out there gets consolidated. And, you know, you mentioned a non-aggression pact between Bernie and Elizabeth Warren. What would be really interesting is if Bernie dropped out, to see what would happen with Elizabeth Warren and whether she would become the front runner.
But why would Bernie drop out?
Bernie,
well, he's not
going
to.
Yeah,
Bernie
he
will run to the okay, he'll run
right.
to the bitter end.
This is his last attempt, right?
But I think it's going to hurt her.
It will.
Well,
the
absolutely. They're the same people, except
right.
he's old and cranky.
It was interesting, you know, that all of the known moderates are gone were gone off the stage until last night. It was interesting to see how Hickenlooper and Delaney and those other folks are gone. But it was interesting to see a moderate Joe Biden last night. He was back to defending the Obama record. He did it several times. And so I guess, I don't know. Joe Biden, if I was giving him advice, I'd be like, look.
Be normal.
Pick the person you're going to be, which is probably just be yourself, and be that person. The first debate, he tried to be vice president. He was tried to be presidential. Second debate, he went into attack mode. Last night, Jeff's right. He did start off really well. But, man, after 3 hours, you could just tell he was spent.
Warren
seems like she's got plenty of gas to go the long haul.
Except she gets up and says, and then I went to law school. And everyone's like, that's not inspiring.
No, it's not.
That was not, you know. And then you had, you know, Mayor Pete come up and his story, like, wowed everybody.
Well, he's got the most vision.
And he's moderate. And yeah. He doesn't act like one. So I thought he was very interesting.
On some issues. But you did hit something on the nail on the head there. There's nobody, maybe Mayor Pete with a little salt and pepper on his hair like me, at some point will be able to fill a room. But I don't see anybody that's going to be able to take on Trump toe-to-toe. Biden's not going to have enough gas.
I don't think we should take on Trump toe-to-toe. That's the problem I have with our left wing is they want to be the left wing version of Trump.
Right.
The people who are going to vote Trump out of office want normal again. They want the drama to go away.
And
they don't want us to go toe-to-toe with them.
And you can thank Bernie, even though he's not going to make it this time. You can thank Bernie for dragging the party. And he's made a lot of things mainstream that were verboten 4 years ago. You know, health care for all. And and Joe Biden's trying to dial that back. And so there's a real civil war going on right now for the heart and soul of the DNC.
One name that has not come up, and this would be an indication that she's probably not going to get traction, and I'm trying to take the politics and my views of her positions out of it, but I did think that Amy Klobuchar had a pretty good night overall.
She's competent, but again, no one ever talks about her.
The Democratic Party, the talk is that she really is just not a good person, treats her staff like crap. Now, certainly the voters don't know that, but the media knows it, the insiders know it, and she doesn't have any friends, and that makes it kind of difficult to run for president.
She's not a coalition builder. I'll say it in the polite way. She's not a coalition builder. And, I mean, she's very smart, and you know, and she did make some good points. I think
she'd
be
a good secretary of something.
Yeah, she would be actually a good policy person. And Elizabeth, like, had some high moments. But, boy, I mean, the teacher thing comes out. And I think that is going to wear. Like, I don't want to be lectured about how smart I am. And my policies are better than anything you could possibly think.
You're talking about Liawatha.
Yes.
Your friend.
Pocahontas.
And I do think that Bernie's going to kill her. And she doesn't realize that this non-aggression pact is
going to
hurt
her. Well, that would be good because then
her.
I think Biden wins. What I worry about is the opposite occurs. And at some point, Bernie, not because he wants to, but he runs out of steam and she consolidates his support and becomes the front runner. And then the doomsday scenario that Mark discussed where Trump could get reelected, I think, comes into play. That's what I worry about.
I don't think he's getting out ever. And that's just the way it is.
Well, that will be good.
So hey, some breaking news here. We've been waiting for this. Felicity Huffman has been sentenced just to 14 days in prison, a $30,000 fine, 250 hours of community service and 1 year probation for her part in the college admissions scandal. There were prosecutors that were encouraging a 30-day sentence. I'm surprised you got any prison, and 14 days of shock is, for someone like that, I'm not going to say that she's just getting off scot-free because there's a fine involved here, but for this particular crime, doesn't strike me as inappropriate.
Well, I thought everybody said last night if you didn't have a violent crime, you weren't going to prison.
That's right. Yes.
I mean, that's why I'm sitting here going, you know, when you play these policy answers out, then she shouldn't get any prison time at all because we're not going to put nonviolent people in jail.
You notice that these guys are just as critical of their own candidates as we are?
Well, you know what? You would be a better party if you actually did critique
your
own candidates.
Oh, we did that. Hey, there were plenty of us that critiqued Trump back in 2016,
by the way. 10% of you, the other 90 are like marching in
step. This story right here is one of the reasons Donald Trump got elected, because a lot of the people who live in flyover country where we are, we're sick and tired of the elites in D.C.
On both sides.
Now, Trump, yeah, he's rich, but he doesn't play that game. He's not a politician.
Read his bio.
He's not a politician, and he's basically said, I'm not going to be.
He's not a politician.
Did you hear him yesterday?
But he is a rich baby.
You know what, though? He's getting more
entitled.
Political.
He's a rich, entitled baby.
He's starting to play your political game a little better, though, because they asked him, they said, what do you think about the Democratic candidates? He goes, they're all fine, courageous people. And all the reporters almost passed out, and he smiled at him, and he goes, I'm learning to be a politician, you know? I thought that was fantastic.
That is funny.
You know what he said, though? He did give an honest answer, too. He goes, look, anybody who wants to run for president, I give him credit because it ain't easy and it's not fun, you know? And so, you know, yeah, you got to have a big, gigantic, narcissistic ego, but it's also a difficult thing to do. I mean, Joe Biden looks like he's going through hell. And I don't know.
I wouldn't do it.
I don't want to say anything about his health because I'm not his doctor. I haven't read any of the medical records.
He did not look good last
night. But he's 76
night. He really
years
didn't.
Old, and he seems to be struggling.
I would agree. We'll leave it at that. 244. We're coming back with more on the Reardon Roundtable, including some Fritz's frozen custard for the panel.
The Reardon Roundtable, sponsored by the Better Business Bureau, a standards-based organization advancing marketplace trust on KMOX.
Hey, we have some Fritz's frozen custard for the panel, the caramel truffle sundae, which is vanilla with decadent caramel-filled truffles topped off with, yes, even more caramel. That's great for the fall lime flavor treat of the day. That's a brand new flavor as well. And chocolate turtle sundae. That's the famous classic, hot fudge caramel and buttery pecans. You can find a Fritz's frozen custard near you on the website, fritzsfrozencustard.com. Should we, Jane Duker, be banning flavored e-cigarettes for the youths of America? Is that something? Yeah, I will tell you that, you know, I think it's a significant, I guess, health challenge. But I'm a little uncomfortable as a conservative libertarian. The government getting involved. No kids are at stake here. But it seems a little extreme to get in and just try to ban an entire product.
Well, first, I think, you know, it's always good to get the facts. And we need to find out what is killing and hurting these kids. So I think, you know, we're always going to have things out there, alcohol, tobacco, drugs. I mean, there's always going to be harmful things out there.
So, Jane, I don't follow vaping. Is it regulated and does it need to be regulated? Or could I start a vaping business in my basement and just put a bunch of formaldehyde in it or something?
No. I mean, they're still, I mean, I think they treat it like cigarettes. Like, you're supposed to be a certain age to get them. It's regulated.
Just to be clear, with these, it's not the vaping, it's the flavored.
Yes.
Well, but they say it's
that, that appear,
and marketing
appeal
to
more
kids.
To kids.
And you know what I heard this morning, which I had not heard yet. There was an interview. I forget who it was, but they were talking about how they've examined some of these cartridges that cause
these
problems.
Black market ones.
And they said that they're finding THC cannabinoids in some
of
these.
Most of the kids that are hurt are because they were vaping THC, which are not regulated.
Right. They're not supposed to be in there.
No, they're not supposed to be in there.
Right? So the kids are lying because they don't want to get in trouble.
Right.
And they're not saying where they're getting these black market cartridges. So Jane's right. I mean, before we just say, hey, government, ban this, everything will be fine. I mean, we got to figure out what's going on here. It seems very odd that all of a sudden, hasn't this been around for a decade?
Well, yeah, but I think there's been an explosion of kids getting into it.
But again, it's like they're unregulated vaping products being sold that the buyer beware. If that's the case, then rather than getting rid of them, like food, you can't put rotten food in a grocery store and get away with it. Or can't sell drugs that the FDA hasn't approved.
Well, correct. But I also think that there is problems with marketing toward young children.
Oh, with all the flavors, sure.
And the FDA and others have the authority to deal with that. Like cigarette manufacturers can't do certain things, right? Well, they're the same people. But I think, I do think you have a black market problem. And I think kids are using vaping to smoke pot because it doesn't smell.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And so, yeah, this may be a buyer beware situation. I think we have to, as quickly as possible, hopefully find out what is actually doing it. And it's scary to think about because I think there are a ton of kids smoking pot through these systems. And so something about the THC and the cartridge, something is horribly dangerous.
Which the companies are not selling. The kids they're basically getting an aftermarket accessory.
Well, you say horribly dangerous. Absolutely. Let's put this into perspective. There have been a handful of deaths. There's some questions about others. So I think studying this and finding out what's
But if it happens, it's really bad. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where, yes, it's rare, but when it happens, it's really bad. And if you don't know what's causing it, I mean, you just have no way to know if it's you.
But it is our internet world. In the old days, it would have taken, like, you know, the Pony Express, but taking the news around before anybody would even know it. Now you get 9 deaths, and all because of the internet. Everybody's in a panic like that. And I agree with you. We're going to have more and more of that because information just goes at this faster now than the speed of light.
Well, on the internet,
that we're going to have to be able to be measured in some of our responses, knowing that it's really the hysteria around the messaging rather than the actual problem that is creating the hysteria.
But, you know, Bill, I played this soundbite on Monday, I think it was, from Bill Maher from his show last week, where he was defending fat shaming from this perspective. We've got a major, and you could play this with a lot of different health crises, but we have a major obesity crisis that kills 40,000 people a month Now, I'm not suggesting you start banning products, but you do have to look at these things in relation to reality. And I am, just from a philosophical standpoint, looking aside for a moment, Tim, at the health concerns, not that those aren't important, but the executive branch banning an entire product in this country is not something as a conservative that I'm, or a constitutionalist that I'm very comfortable
with. Yeah, they kind of lost me on that. Like you said, we might as well start banning Whoppers and Big Macs and everything else, you know.
Not with this president.
Because
would be a crisis.
Hey, he just got his cardiovascular report. He's a very healthy, vibrant young man.
Yeah, right.
You know?
He looks like the picture of health.
Yeah, he admits he likes to eat fast food, but the guy has not smoked or drank his entire life, and that'll keep you in pretty good stead. But back to the point here.
Big Macs are worse.
You know, if we're gonna look at, every death is horrible, but when you compare heart disease, right, and some other things caused by Americans' bad diets, well, then we might as well shut down all the fast food tomorrow.
By the way, have you guys been informed why the president, because no, Jane, you've referred to him as the orange man, right? Do you know why he's orange?
Orange trash fire.
Okay. Wait. Do you know why?
It's not nice.
A bad tanning bed?
I'm going to explain it to you here.
The light bulb. People said, what's with the light bulb? I said, here's the story. And I looked at it. The bulb that we're being forced to use, number one, to me, most importantly, the light's no good. I always look orange. And so do you. The light is the worst. But number two, it's many times more expensive than that old incandescent bulb that worked very well. And very importantly, I don't know if you know this, they have warnings. If it breaks, it's considered a hazardous waste site.
All right, there you go. I'm just letting you know that it's
Nazi's fault. See, he made a joke about his hair last week.
He did make a joke about himself. I got to give him a little modest.
The self-deprecating Trump.
He's becoming a politician.
He did all right there.
Yeah. Wow.
Rainford, Cardinals going to play in October. I'm confident of it. 4-game lead right now. Milwaukee pretty hot despite the injury to Christian Yelich. The Cubs having some issues. All three teams won yesterday. We should be preparing for another division title at this point, shouldn't we?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We'll win the division title. But, oh, man, Washington and Los Angeles are so good and look so good that we should not be disappointed. We should consider that a victory if we win the division. But there's the parity that sometimes you have in Major League Baseball is not there this year.
See, I'm going to disagree from this standpoint. I agree with you. There's good teams, but the Dodgers have their challenges. The Braves have had their challenges. We have pitching that is coming together right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, the challenge in Denver the past couple of days, not yesterday's afternoon game, was run production, not the quality of pitching. So the quality of pitching is coming together. Mike Schilt has done a really masterful job of managing this bullpen. They blew up in the ninth last night to give even Carlos Martinez, who I thought they were going to blow the game yesterday because there was bases loaded in the bottom of the eighth, and Carlos came in and saved something and did not have to go back in the ninth because of the run production by the Cardinals. So I like the way this is coming together. They have a tough schedule, but I'm feeling pretty good about the team overall, not just winning the division.
You know when I felt they were going into the postseason? When they swept that doubleheader a couple weeks ago. That was a solid weekend. But, boy, Jeff's right. Yankees, Dodgers,
Houston.
Astros. Holy cow. I want to see Yankees cards in the World Series.
Yeah, what I worry about is when we played recently, within the last 2 months, when we played the really good teams, we've gotten smoked, and we have but we are doing very good against the bad teams, and that's kind of how we've been. Cincinnati is terrible, and we won 3 or 4 against them, and Pittsburgh is terrible. Chicago is not playing very well. We played Milwaukee when they weren't playing very well. I worry about us against the good teams. However, they have a lot of young arms in that system right now. They've made a decision. It's about pitching. I think they're right. And so I like next year, as long as they're going to have to figure out what to do with Carpenter's contract, but I like next year.
If your pitching's good right now, that's what you need right now, though, right, to get you deep into that postseason.
I am not giving up on this year. No. Look, I'm a realist.
I think it's going to be fun. I think it'll be a blast, but I don't see us.
I'm a realist. Look, but you put us in a 5-game series with the Braves, and Jack Flaherty's pitching in 2 of those games.
Braves, yeah. Dodgers, Washington.
Wow. I love the Dodgers.
I know.
They don't do well against,
I was just going to say,
Nationals might be a different story.
We get inside their head.
I think we do, too. I mean, Clayton Kershaw does horribly in the postseason against the Cardinals. I'll take it. We're out of time, gang. Tim Jones, good to see you. Jeff Rainford, awesome to have you. Jane's going to hang out for the next hour. That wraps another Reardon Roundtable.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.